And now the world watches, Nigeria waits, and the fate of scores of young girls kidnapped by the terrorist group Boko Haram is unknown. The world is responding, though. A U.S. team of military experts is reportedly on the ground to help with the rescue of the estimated 276 kidnapped schoolgirls. U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is sending a high-level delegation to help with the mobilization against Boko Haram militants. The collision of terrorist brutality, government incompetence, and enormous oil wealth in Nigeria reveals a nation that cannot protect its citizens and that perhaps until now hasn't even considered them much of a priority. We've spoken to Nigerian expatriates, artists, and filmmakers about the meaning of this terrible crisis. Today, feminist author and civil rights activist Bell Hooks tells us that the young girls, in her view, are pawns in a larger struggle against a government structure that has failed the people of Africa and maybe the world. The parent protesters calling for action on the streets of Nigeria are on the front lines of this struggle.
Overall, it's about a struggle for nation state power and who's going to be in control. It's interesting that the bodies of girls become the violent territory. It's clearly something that's getting the attention of the world because of it being every parent's fear, loss of a child. I think it's just tapping into intense emotionalities around the globe.
Do you think there's a unstated notion here that girls are not valued as much in societies, be they Nigerian or elsewhere, and that to use them as chits in this kind of ideological war between men has a sort of darker message?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, part of it is the way that, quote, feminism is often blamed for chaos in many countries, as though the chaos of imperialism or capitalism or other forms of domination isn't enough. Because behind all this, of course, is the blaming of those women and men who have struggled to make education possible for girls in the world.
There's such a sense of demoralization that the institutions are not capable of addressing these issues, and these poor young girls are sort of caught in the balance. Do you think institutions have lost their ability to address these kinds of deep questions of equality, gender equality, racial equality?
Well, I think that people don't want to accept that we're not very far along the road to gender equality. And even in the States where we have, I would say we have much more gender freedom than the rest of the world, but we don't necessarily have gender equality. And we have much more of a class-driven gender freedom. That is to say, the higher your class as a woman, no matter your race, the more likely you are to have things that we would call freedom or liberation.
When people in the West look at what's going on in Nigeria and say, boy, it's completely crazy over there, but I'm glad I'm not any part of that, you really hear alarm bells when people in the West do that.
Well, I hear the same old cultural imperialism that has allowed us to ignore, for example, the traffic in girls in this society. I mean, the traffic in girls in this society is primarily Black and Latina girls. It starts at age 13, but people tend not to point to that as a sign of what's wrong with our country, that there should be all of these girls being driven to prostitution or slavery or murdered, because they are really a non-visible class. And that's part of what makes the Nigerian situation so stunning to the world, because it's like you've taken a class of people that are normally invisible and brought them into a certain kind of visibility.
What do you think prevents the world from taking the events in Nigeria and having a broader conversation about everywhere in the world where this kind of enslavement goes on one way or another, even if it's unrecognizable to the Boko Harams of the world?
We can't just focus on these things and be aware of them. That means nothing if we're not making some step towards change, challenge, transformation. And most people don't want to take that step, but they'll take the step maybe of being aware of having, oh, isn't that terrible, without thinking, well, how are we all implicated in this? I mean, everyone is noticing that, you know, just as Nigeria was trying to announce itself as having a better economic program for Africa and being a kind of symbol, that this happens. And so clearly there's an intersectionality between what's happening with these girls and what's happening with the larger question of the economic survival of Nigeria.
What would you look for from the United States besides military aid as a powerful message to combat what's going on there and the attacks on women and the society at large?
Well, I would look first and foremost for the United States to own its own culpability in having similar problems on different scales, because I think if we'd only act as though we can be the saviors, rescuers, helpers, then we're just reproducing an old colonial model. And if we're not saying, you know, these are the circumstances in our society that are similar in some ways, and this is what we are doing to combat that. And so we can't, because everywhere in this nation, black girls, black females are disappearing or being battered and murdered, and our nation actually isn't doing anything. So how can we then dare to assume that we can help Nigeria solve its problem?
What do you say to the person who might react to what you've just said as, oh boy, there we go. The Takeaway has this voice on blaming America for what's going on in Nigeria. Man, that is crazy.
But not at all blaming, but holding the U.S. accountable for what goes on in the U.S. and saying that a lot of times when we are focusing on other countries, we're obfuscating and turning away from what is actually going on in the country we live in. So I'm much more saying, let's look at the link between what happened, the violence against girls in Nigeria, and the violence against girls here in the United States, particularly black girls.
Bell Hooks is a feminist scholar, author, and social activist. Next week, we'll hear more from her, a larger discussion about socioeconomic disparities here in the United States, and why she says the lean-in philosophy doesn't work for everyone.